Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And I'm joined now by Tom Hunt, who is out with a debut novel, Killer Choice. It is a thriller. It is available now wherever your fine books are sold from the good folks at Berkeley. That's part of the Penguin Random House family. Tom is a native Iowan. We'll talk a little bit about that. But Tom, this book, I've got to set it up for you. I got home one night about 10 o'clock, and as I do, I get several of these books in the mail, and I knew that you were from Iowa, so I grabbed this book about 10:15 one night and started reading it just to kind of get it started. And 3 hours later, I closed the book, got up, and finally went to the restroom and got something to drink. I could not put the thing down. You wrote this thing. I'm sure it took you years to write this book, and here I read it in 3 hours and was completely entertained, and I've read it again since. So tell me how you go about writing a thriller that makes somebody turn the page and stay up all night reading something like this.
Well, you know, that's kind of one thing I wanted to do. When I set out to write, it was just write something that was very, very fast-paced. I've always kind of had a pretty short attention span, particularly when it comes to reading books and even just writing them. It's kind of a grind, like you mentioned. It did take a little over a year to write it. And really just when I was writing it, if I ever, you know, encountered a part that was boring or a part that I was kind of struggling with, I just tried to get it done as quickly as possible and moved on to get to the good, exciting parts.
Well, the premise for the book is that you have a man and a wife. The wife is sick, needs a couple $100,000 for treatment. They don't have any money. And then, you know, you take it from there and make it into a thriller. That book could have gone 80 different ways. You could have made it a sappy love story. You could have made it a mystery, a medical thing, but you turned it into a thriller. When you first heard the story about the premise of this book that you used, or I think was a real-life example, what put in your mind that you could make a thriller out of something that is originally such a sad situation?
Well, and so the idea for the book just came. I saw a news article one day. This is years ago, and it was about a family who the wife was diagnosed with a really serious disease, and they had an interview with the husband, and he talked about how he would, you know, just do anything to save her. They needed money for an experimental treatment that might save her. And so kind of from that article, I just kind of started thinking, well, wonder how far he would go. And as far as, like, why I decided to make it into a thriller, that's just kind of the type of books I like reading. That's pretty much primarily what I read. And, again, it just kind of goes back to what we talked about in the first question, just writing something that was very fast-paced and moved very quickly.
Gary Foster and Beth are the primary characters here, and the husband and wife, and they are really... they're in love. She's pregnant. They're in love. And you can tell that when you get out of a thriller, I think part of the trap that some thriller writers run into is they make some of the love stuff a little too sappy and it slows down the action. You didn't do that here, but yet you captured their love so uniquely. How is it that you're able to do that and not slow down the action, keeping the love part there?
Well, that's a good question. I don't really know. I guess I just kind of didn't want to focus. I mean, I wanted to focus on their relationship and make sure, you know, I drove home just how in love they were. But I didn't want to just cram a bunch of backstory into the book and kind of bog it down with anything like that. And also the book, I think one of the reasons why it moves so quickly, that's what a lot of people have commented at least, is just that kind of as it begins, there's sort of two different storylines happening. There's Gary and Beth, who are kind of the main characters, but then there's also this storyline of another guy named Otto, who's, maybe not to reveal too much, but he's kind of in a bad situation himself. And so just kind of alternating between the two different storylines, you know, hopefully helped it to move along quickly.
This book, as I read it, really had a tinge of an Alfred Hitchcock Presents episode, maybe an extra-length episode to it. You have people who are normally law-abiding citizens, good people, who would never do anything illegal. They wouldn't park illegally, and yet you have this moral dilemma come up. And were you a Hitchcock fan growing up? Because I did sense a little bit of that in here.
Not really, no. I would say one of my main influences is actually one of my favorite books of all time. It's a book called A Simple Plan. And that's just a really outstanding book. I've read that book probably 5 or 6 times at least in my life. And that book is kind of the same type of premise, where it's two really, really good people. And actually in that book, a guy is walking through the woods and he finds $2 million in cash. I think it's $2 million. And he's with his brother, and so they kind of are faced with a moral dilemma. Are they going to keep the cash? Are they going to get rid of it? And then things spiral out of control for them. And so that was really one of my main influences, was just that book.
A Simple Plan, of course, the great Scott Smith book from 10 or so years ago, yeah. I think. But you're in New York City now. You come from Iowa. Tell me about your Iowa background. You grew up right outside Iowa City, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Washington, Iowa, born and raised. And I attended school at the University of Iowa for undergrad, and then even lived in Iowa for a couple years after graduation, and then eventually kind of made my way out here. I work in advertising. That's my day job, and not too many advertising agencies in Iowa, so that's why I'm out here.
Washington, Iowa, not exactly a bastion of producing great writers that I know of, but as you've done this, you're sitting in New York City, does it get lonely thinking about Iowa and all that? You're away from such things, or you're living so close now with your characters in your book that it's almost like that's a second family to you?
Yeah, no, it definitely, I definitely knew I wanted to set the book in the Midwest, just because I grew up and still spent a lot of time there. I'm actually flying back to Iowa tomorrow for the holidays.
You set the book in Michigan.
Yeah, I don't know.
You set the book in Michigan, though.
Michigan. It was in Michigan. I don't really know why I said. I think part of the reason I said it in Michigan as opposed to Iowa was that the town that the book is based in is really not in good shape. It's kind of Gary and Beth, the main characters. You know, they've fallen on hard times, but the town they're in itself has really fallen on hard times. And I don't know, I feel like there aren't that many towns in Iowa or cities in Iowa that are like that, that are truly, you know, crumbling and in really, really bad shape like there are. There's a couple in Michigan.
When you're putting together your first novel, I'm sure it's not the first thing you've written, correct?
No, the first thing I've published, but not the first thing I've written.
Okay. As you're putting this together and you're going back and forth with editors, trying to get the book sold, what's the process like for a freshman author who has got a story you think is good, you send it to a publisher, you either get a rejection or they send you all kinds of changes and they still want the book. What's that process like, and what's that do to your ego as a writer?
That's a great question. Yeah, that was definitely one of the more eye-opening parts of just the whole getting the book published journey. So basically what you do first is you find an agent, and then the agent will only take on books that they think they can sell. And the agents are very, very picky. They're just bombarded with writers reaching out to them. And usually what you do is you just send off something called a query letter, which is just basically a really brief letter that summarizes your book, summarizes who you are. And then if they're interested by the query letter, they'll request maybe like the first 50 pages of the book. So that's why it's really important to just really open your book strongly, because a lot of times those first few pages are all the chance you get to impress an agent. So if they don't fall in love with the book, you know, after reading the first 5 or 10 pages, they'll probably just toss it out. So finding an agent is really, really difficult. But I did find an agent for this, and she really liked it, but she had a lot of changes she wanted me to make just to improve her chance at, you know, maybe selling it to a publisher. So I made those changes, and that took about 6 months. So the book itself took about a year to write, and then making the changes my agent wanted took about 6 months. And then after I made those, she was able to sell it to Penguin, Berkeley. And then after it sold, the editor who it sold to had a whole bunch of changes she wanted me to make as well. And so that took about another 6 months. So all in all, it was about 2 years total. And as far as what it does to your ego, you just kind of have to keep an open mind. And, you know, my editor's great because she doesn't necessarily demand if she, you know, has a change or something that she wants me to make, doesn't necessarily demand it. She just really strongly suggests it. And it's kind of up to me to, you know, pick and choose which changes, you know, I go with. But usually she's pretty right. So I usually go with all of her changes.
I know when I write something, whether it's something for work or a radio script or whatever, I have a hard time rereading my own things. And sometimes I'm a real bad proofreader of my own things because my brain knows what I want to say. But and when I read it on the page, even if it doesn't say that on the page, that's still how my brain reads it. Do you experience the same thing as an author when you reread your own material?
Well, a lot of times how I write is I'll just write a bunch of different drafts. So I'll go through and I'll write a first draft, and maybe it'll take, you know, a couple weeks or a month, and then I'll go back and I'll read it. And if that much time has passed, usually it's kind of, you know, slipped from my mind almost. It's almost like I'm reading it for the first time. Yeah, a lot of times you do read it, and you know, there are some parts you read and you think, oh, wow, that's really good. And then there are other parts you read and just kind of wondering what you were thinking when you wrote it.
Do you second guess yourself sometimes and think that, you know, oh, gosh, I should have put that in there? And then, you know, after the galley copy comes out, you read it and think, oh, I've just got to let it go. This is how it's going to be.
Yeah, oh, definitely. There are a number of different plot twists in Killer Choice where, you know, I would just write out, maybe I'd be a little stuck, and I'd write out 10 or 20 different directions the book could go. And then, yeah, and then sometimes you'll read over, like, the direction you chose, and you kind of wonder, well, what if it would have maybe veered off in a different direction? I would have taken it, you know, somewhere else. Would that have been a better choice? But, you know, ultimately, you just kind of got to live with the decision you make.
Well, and you know, this Killer Choice, it's such a great book, and I know that Berkeley has got the rights to your next novel coming out. You wrote this first one in a bubble. I don't think anybody, you know, no readers were expecting it and stuff. Now people are going to be reading this, and now they're expecting the next Tom Hunt novel. How does that affect your writing process that you're no longer in a vacuum? You're no longer in a bubble. People know who you are, and they're expecting it.
I don't know if that necessarily affected it, but one thing that did affect it was just, you know, with the second book, you have very, very strict deadlines. The first one, particularly before it sold, I just had all the time I needed. You know, if I wanted to, you know, maybe not put as much work in on one day, I could do that. Whereas with the second one, you know, there's just very, very strict deadlines. So you only have, I think I had about 9 months to write it. And it's definitely a really different, it's a luxury you kind of don't appreciate at the time when you're, you know, kind of just writing on your own and you can just take as much or as little time as you need. But definitely writing the second one with a deadline was, I would say, the main difference between writing the first one and the second one.
And all of this while you're maintaining another full-time job, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
so usually I like writing in the morning.
Well, you're coming back to Iowa, I know, to go speak at Prairie Lights. You're going to be at Prairie Lights on February 1st in Iowa City, and you're going to be at the Washington City Library on February 3rd. Prairie Lights, a place that I've loved over the years. Were you a Prairie Lights guy when you were in Iowa City?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I went to number of signings there, and I would purchase, you know, hundreds of books probably.
And now you're producing them. Well, it's an absolutely fantastic debut novel. I just can't say enough good things about it. The book is Killer Choice. It's a thriller by Tom Hunt, Iowa's own Tom Hunt from little Washington, Iowa, right outside of Iowa City, and now he's producing books for Berkeley. This is just, you will not be disappointed if you go pick this book up. Tom, absolute pleasure to read this book, and the only thing I wish, it would have gone on longer. I mean, I didn't want to shut the book cover for it, but anyway, that's how books go. Killer Choice by Tom Hunt. Thanks for a great debut novel, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Brian. I appreciate the kind words, and I had a lot of fun.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
And I would do anything for love. I'd run right into hell and